Okay, we're up to Perek Dalet. We're on the middle pasuk. Perek Dalet, pasuk Dalet. We already did the Mitzudos, so we'll just go to the Rashi. Kimigdal, through the pasuk first. Kimigdal David the Tzavareich, Banu l'Salpios. Like the Tower of David is your neck, Banui, it is built, l'Salpios, it is built as a very hard word to translate, a Tal Pios. It seems to be that it's a contraction of two words. Tal is a mound, Pios a mound of mouths. Elef Hamogen Tolu Yolov, 1,000 shields are suspended, are resting upon this tower. Call all of the Shilte Hagibarim, all of the quivers of the mighty ones. Okay, so what does this mean? So we learned yesterday that Talpios, according to the parish of the Mitzvot, means Hoira. Hoira means teaching. It means that the Migdal David. Okay, so it's built as a tower. The Migdal Dod is the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash is the place from where Hoira comes forth to Klal Yisrael. In the Beis HaMikdash is the Lishkas HaGozis, where the Sanhedrin sit and they teach. And from this location, Hoira, teaching, goes forth to the entire Klal Yisrael. So Tal Pios is. According to the Mitzudos, it means, we're going to see soon that according to Rashi, likewise, it means the same thing. It means it is a location from which teaching goes forth. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Dalet, Kimigdal David Tzavarech, Koyma Zkufa, Noi B'Isha. Okay, we're describing over here the Isha and stature, a woman that stands tall, a woman who is tall, or her neck is raised up straight, is noy, is an expression of beauty for Nisha. We had dogma. The mashal is, Kemigdal David hu mitzudas Tzion. The Migdal David here refers to the fortress of Tzion. Shu mokoyim choyzek v'oifel u'mivtzar. Three words which mean, in my limited vocabulary, the same thing. A place of strength and fortification. Oifel also means some type of, also an expression of strength. Kachu tzavarech, so is your neck. Your neck serves as is the strength, the chizek of the person. And this refers to Zu Lishkas Hagozis. It's very interesting. According to Rashi, it's not the Beis HaMikdash. The Migdal of David is being used as a mashal for the Lishkas HaGozes, where the Sanhedrin would sit and teach. The seat of Torah, the source of Torah, is the ultimate strength for Klal Yisrael. Now what does that mean? This Migdal was built for a mountain of mouths. Banui Linoi is a place of beauty. It's a landmark. Talpios, Rashi seems to be saying that the word Talpios literally means a landmark. But Mistaklimbo, everyone would look, everyone would gaze and look, to look at the images. And the beauty of the architecture, they would look at this location, and they would use it as a model, as a study, to build similar structures of beauty. Therefore, this served as a teaching, as an instrument of teaching. This Migdal was an example from what people can learn from to emulate in their own way. And that is why the word Yirashi over here says, Vumi Gizras Malpenu. The Tav is not part of the Shoresh. The real word is, Talpios is the Laman and the Pei, and really there's a Mem. Really it's Malpenu. Malpenu means, Malpenu mi behamos aretz. You, Hashem, you have taught us more so than the animals of the earth. This possibly means that we have learned from whatever the Pasuk is describing. You have taught us. We have become educated.
Like Ulpan.
What? Ulpan, right. Ulpan is a curriculum. Mibehemos aretz v'atav b'talpios. And Rashi points out that the tav and talpios is not part of the shayrish. K'moy tav shebitarmis. Like the tav of the word tarmis, which means deceit. U'bitavnis and an image. Just like tarmis, it's remoya. The shayri, the word remiya, what?
I think that in these cases, the tav creates a noun.
The tofke, the tofkufar. Okay. So, but it's not part of the shoresh, like remoya. Remoya means deceit. Remia. So in this form, it's tarmis. The tof is appended.
And many of those.
Tavnis. What's tavnis? It's lashon of binyan. It's lashon. Banui, built. So the tav is not part of the shayrish. It's appended to give the past the word more flavor. Here as well, the Rashi is telling us the yisod. The word talpios comes from the word malpenu, lashon of to teach, and we're just changing the form of the tav to talpios. But what does it mean then in the big picture of things? It means that this location is a source of teaching. Now, in the simple translation of the pasuk, it means that it's a beautiful tower. It's a tower which was architecture and beauty and design is second to none. And all different craftsmen, all different chachamim, they come to this location to study its the technique and the design, the architecture, to use as a source of teaching what to do elsewhere. And the nimshal is, as Rashi will say in a few moments, is that the Lishkas Hagozis is the place from which people would come to be educated, to learn and to study, to know what to do in the world. Yeah?
That's really an expression, towers of wisdom, towers of academia.
I mentioned yesterday the idea of Sanhedrin making important halakhic decisions.
Landmark decisions. So l'chari, that's where it comes from. This has to be. Everything is written in Tanakh. This is the oldest book. The Bible has to come landmark, talpios, literally. From where? From Chazal.
Yeah.
Who do you say? Shakespeare? You say
Shakespeare.
Where does it say? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Okay, so this is what it means over here. So basically, it's a very important yisur, because it's a very unique expression. Talpiyos, according to both Rashi and the Mitzudos, we have concluded it means hoira. It is a place of teaching, a source of education. And the nimshal over here is, Rashi is going to follow through in a few moments, Elef HaMogein Tol Yolov. Let's first deal with the simple translation. We have a beautiful tower, and the tower, people would lean on the tower's shields, 1,000 shields. Kach Minuk HaSodim, the Mitzvah said the same thing yesterday, it was the Minuk of the Sodim, Lidlois Maginehem, Vishiltehem, Bekoisle HaMigdolim, they would lean their shields and their quivers. Rashi holds the shiltoin means a quiver where you put your arrows. They would lean it against the wall of the tower. Period. What is shiltei? Rashi defines it more precisely. Ashbois, the quiver. Shenoistem bochem chitzim, in which you would put your arrows. Kimo
hove. The usual word for it.
So usually, what shiltoin means control, authority.
No, for quiver.
Yeah, what's the usual word?
Ashpa.
Okay, that's maybe possibly, is that possibly an Aramaic word?
No,
okay, fine, okay. So here it says, the shulte kamo hovveru hachitzim milu hashlotim. Polish. Hovveru hachitzim, polish the arrows. Milu hashlotim, fill up your quiver. Fill up your quiver with your polished arrows. So we see in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it's clear that the word hashalitim, from the context, clearly refers to the quiver. Like you said, because it's not the common word. The word hashalitim is, you would think maybe. So now, finally, after explaining all of these ideas, so Rashi now finally comes around to explain the mashal. The doimelay lishkas agazis, the similarity here to lishkas agazis, shemisham hoyro yoitza. Okay, going back to talpios, from there is where hoyro went forth to the entire world. Shatoyro, and then when it says here that there the shields, 1,000 shields are leaned against this tower, means it's teaching you that Torah is the greatest form of defense. It is the schus of Torah is megin for Klal Yisrael. Shatoyra mogein li Yisrael. The Yesh Loimar, now he actually elaborates a little bit more of Yesh Loimar. You could also can suggest Elif ha mogein, when it says here in the Pasuk Elif, 1,000 shields, Elif does not only mean 1,000. Elif comes from Aloif. Or ulpan, like you said, ulpan. Aleph lamed pei means to teach. Aleph beis means aloif dino, study understanding, learn understanding, learn Torah. So when it says here, Elif Hamage means, Elif is a code word for the Torah. Why is Torah called Elif? Besides the fact that it means Alufi Umeyidu'i, it means teaching, but it's also used in the pasuk that is directly linked to Torah. Elef Hamogen Kmo Elef Mogen, the shield of Ho Elef, and that what does that expression mean? The shield of Elef Al Shem Davar Tziva Li Elef Dar. Torah is described as something which Hashem has commanded for 1,000 generations for all time, and therefore it's a code word that Elef, the Torah, which is Mogen, which serves as a shield for Klal Yisrael, Toli Olav, is suspended, is dependent, is comes forth from this location, the Talpios, which is the Lishkas HaGozis. Then when it says, Kol Shulti HaGibarim, what does this mean? So he says, in this location, you're going to find all of the students. You're not just going to have the Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, the Lishkas HaGozis, the people that made it to the top, the 70 members, but you're going to have students of knowledge, and they are the arrows that are found in the quivers. Matzinu Shatalmidim Nikraim Al Shem Chitzim Vishalitim. We find that Talmidim are called, they compare to arrows and quivers. Kenyan Shenemar Kechitzim Biyad Gibar. Just like the arrows in the hand of a gibar, Kain b'nei hanurim, so are your students, the young students. Ashrei hagever, asher milei es ashposta mehim. Fortune is the person that fills up his quiver with them. And Chazal darshan this in reference to Talmidei Chachamim. Fortunate are the Talmidei Chachamim that have many students. So this is the basic interpretation of the pasuk to review according to the parish of the Rashi, and it's very similar according to the Mitzvahs, but according to Rashi, we're focusing now is Kmil David Savrich. Klal Yisrael is being praised that their neck is like the tower. The neck is the most beautiful part of the person. It's the part of Koyma Zakufa. It's the part of the person where you see the stature of the person. If the person has his neck is a long neck, and it stands straight, it adds stature to the person. And when the pasuk says, Kimigdal David, so what is the stature of the Yoifi of Klal Yisrael? It is the Lishkas HaGozes. It is the Sanhedrin. Bonu L'talpiois, it is built as a place of Hoirah. It is the source of teaching for the entire world. Elef Hamogin Toli Olav. The Torah that is called Elef, Davar Tzival Elef Dar, which is the Mogen, is the ultimate source of defense. It is the ultimate merit that protects us from Tzaros, Toli Olav. It is suspended upon this Lishkas HaGozis. This is the Nishchus of the Torah that comes forth. The Lishkas HaGozis, we are protected. Who goes there? Kol Shultei HaGibarim. You're not just going to find there the Talmidei Chacham, you're going to find there their students. All of the quivers of the Gibarim. The Gibarim means Ezeo Gibra Kovish Es Yitzroi. To the Talmidei Chacham, and they are to be found in this location. Yeah.
What is the
Taj of Elef? Elef, literally, it's 1,000. But Elef is Rashi, is the code word Dover Tzivar for 1,000 generations. What is the subject of the Pasuk? Dover Tzivar Elef Dar. It means the Torah. The other is like Aleph Beis, Aleph. Aleph Lamed Pei is Aleph means to study. We have many expressions where Aleph Lamed Pei it refers to teaching curriculum, study, academies, right? Ulpan. Ulpan means.
No, I was thinking of. In the Torah, by Esau, you have Aluf, this one. And
Aluf is a master. Why is a person called the chief? Because he is the wisest.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Aluf is...
The leader.
We have in David, the pasuk can tell him where David called one of his teachers Alufi Umi Yidui. You are my teacher. Alufi, because the expression Aleph Lamepei means the teacher, means someone who has taught me Torah. Okay, now let's take a look at the cattle.
Shigar
Alefecha. Okay, the issue of your sheep. Okay, now let's see the Targum. Pasuk Dalid. Pasuk Dalid. Now, who is this? The Migdal David. The Reish Misifta. The Targum over here says something similar to Rashi. Okay, he does not focus specifically on the Lishkas HaGozis, but he focuses on the Talmidei Chachamim. The Reish Misifta. Okay. The Migdal David is the head of the Misifta. the Rosh HaYeshiva. In the Gemara, there was something called the Rosh HaYeshiva. They called him the Reish Masifta. The Reish, the Ram. Today they call him the Ram. Reish Masifta.
He's less than the Rosh HaYeshiva.
Right. Today they call him, he's a Ram in this Yeshiva. The Reish Masifta, the Hu Rav Di Lich, who is your Rebbe. What the verbosity, I'm not sure why we have these there's a little bit of verbosity here. Chasin Bishusa, who is great, who is enormous, in mighty in merit, the Rav, he is the master, but uvodin tovin good deeds. Ki David Malko di Yisrael, he is equivalent to David Melech Yisrael. Period. In other words, he's telling us here that every generation is a Rosh HaYeshiva. The Rosh HaYeshiva, we are assuming, is only elected, is only put in the position because he has the merits. Number one, he is your teacher, he is your Rav, he has great merits, and he has good deeds. Unfortunately, today to be a Rosh Yeshiva, it's not what you know, it's who your father was. It's who your father and father-in-law was, or maybe if you have some money, it also can help a little bit. Today we don't have any more. I don't think we really have any more. I'm just trying to say anything big, but it's a different world today. Okay, but it used to be such a thing that it was based on merit. So he is Kedavid Malko the Yisrael. He is like David Melech Yisrael. He is the equivalent. What?
In the old days, sons-in-law were also chosen on merit.
Sons-in-law were also chosen on merit. Okay. So he was Kedavid Malka the Israel. He is like David. He's like David, the king of Israel. He's equivalent, just like David was the great leader. So the Nigdal David Tzavarech. The Tzavarech, not like Mitzudos, we're not discussing the Beis HaMikdash, not like Rashi, we're not discussing the Lishka Sagozis. The Tzavarech is the Rosh Masifta, the Reish Masifta. He is like David HaMelech. Now this is very bizarre what it says. And through his word the world was built. Now what in the world does that mean? What the Reish Masifta, Hashem consulted with the Reish Masifta to build the world?
The blueprint idea.
Mis b'nei olma, it continues to exist. Okay, so you want to say doesn't mean it means in his zchus. In his zchus, the world continues to go on. Uva ulfan oiraisa the have osak, and through the ulfan, the study, that's the elef. What? The Ulpan, right, that's what you said before. The Ulpan, and through the Elef. The Elef, Arayis Tahavi Osak, Rechitzin Amo Beis Yisrael. They had faith. Rechitzin means Beitchim. In other words, they were confident. They had. They are Rechitzin. Doesn't mean to run?
No.
Means to have confidence, I have faith. Rochetz, okay. Rechitzin, they had confidence, they had faith. In the merit of the Talmidei Chachamim, Klal Yisrael were able to have confidence. In other words, they had shields. When you have a shield, you're confident. No one's going to harm you, I'm protected. And then, Umenatzchin Bikirva, they were successful, they prevailed in war. Ki'ilu Ochdin Bidehon Kol Mine Imone Zainin Digibarin, as if they held in their hands all the various types of weapons. They had in their hands in the Zuchus of Torah, they were confident and they prevailed in war. So let's see back, go back to the Pasuk and read the Pasuk again in its entirety, based upon the parish of the Targum. Kemigdal David Savarech, that Savarech means the Rosh Masifta, who is great in Zuchus in Torah and Midois and Mais and Toivim like David HaMelech. Bonui Lesal Pios, so how is he teaching over here? Bonui Lesal Pios means the world. Bonui, the world is built, meaning it continues to exist, Lesal Pios, due to the merit of the words that come out of his mouth. I guess the Tal means the mounds, the collection of words that issue forth from the Pios.
We're going with the Ulpan idea of Tal Pios.
Talpios is the Ulpan, correct. But he's saying the world is only continues to exist in his merit, due to his.
The word Ulpan comes from Pios also. It's relating it one to
Ulpan.
Words of talking is another name for yeshivas because they do a lot of talking of Torah.
Okay, so tal piyos is fine, and then it goes on to say, and therefore elef hamagin tal yolav, they have the zuchus of the tal, the reish mesifta, and all of his Torah, they have klal Yisrael has confidence, and tal yolav called shulte hagiborim. Now shulte, he seems to be saying, is the power, shultain. It doesn't seem to be to like the parish of Rashi that we're discussing the quiver. And in fact, the Medrash says the word shulte refers to shalita. Shalita means the authority. The Shalita called all of the Shulte, the might of the Giborim, is all dependent upon the Zuchus of the Reish Mesifta. One of my favorite stories, I told this to you probably a few times, it's a story with Rav Baruch Ber and the Chofetz Chaim. The story is, there was once a Talmud that learned in Kamenitz by Rav Baruch Ber, and he snuck out to go to a play that was being done by the Maskilim. He wanted to see all the entertainment. So he went to the theater, and the Maskilim were putting on a play. And in the play, they were showing a Milchemes Goig u'Magoig. And they were making litzanis of the Talmidei Chacham, and they show Goig, but they show on one side of the stage tanks and missiles and all the sophisticated weaponry of the 20th century. And on the other side, they showed a couple of old Yidden hunchback with some svarim and long white beards, and then gets up and then they say, this is Muhammad's Goig u'Magoig. The Umos Olam are coming over here to wipe out Klal Yisrael. And person gets up and he's the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, and he says, Mihu ish asher bona bayis v'loi chanocho yelech v'yoshev levesai. So a couple of old Yidden, they walk off the stage. Mihu ish asher nasa isha. Couple of young men walk off. Mihu ish asher not akerem. Some more walk off. And then Mihu ish hayore v'rach halevav yelech v'yoshev levesai. And everyone leaves. The only one that's left on the stage is the Chofetz Chaim and Rav Baruch Ber. The only ones, then they had them dressed up. And then the Baruch Ber, he picks up a bow and arrow, and he looks at the tanks and the missiles and the airplanes to fight the jets, and he says to the Chofetz Chaim, "Nu Chofetz Chaim, you're a Kohen, the Kiddashtoi, a Mechubid, Mechubid, the Kohen, a Gadol, with the Ershta, the first shot. The first, what? Ershta Shos. And the Chofetz Chaim says, Nein, a Baruch Ber, it's a Rosh Hashiva. Kavarateira, Rosh Hashiva, he should be Mechubid with the Ershta Shos. And they go back and forth, and everyone in the audience laughing hysterically. They're making litzanis of these two old people, Muhammad's guy Gumaga, with their little bow and arrow. And you can imagine the bow and arrow that cost 99 cents that you buy in the 99 cents to Falag Boimer. That's the bow and arrow they're using to go fight against the mighty war machine of the 20th century. And everyone is laughing their heads off, and they close the curtain. And this young Bach, he goes back to their Baruch Ber, and he's depressed. Baruch Ber, what happened? So as chata'ai, ani mazkir, I went for some entertainment, I went to the maskilim, I watched the play, and this is what I saw. And of Baruch Ber, he was very disturbed, and the story goes, he was pacing back and forth, and then he says to the Talmud, you know something? That's exactly the way it's going to be. You think it's a joke? It's not a joke. It's exactly the way it's going to be. It's quite a story. It's really, I mean, it's a very deep, profound story. And listen, it's not a joke. Look at the Six-Day War. Look at the Yom Kippur War. I mean, look at the State of Israel. You know, we get a calm, such a metzias. And that's really, to some degree, what it says over here in this Targum. The Targum says, we have here the Migdal David Savoreich, the Talmidei Chachomim, the Reish Mesifta. The Reish Mesifta, he's like a fortress. A fortress, the Migdal David. And him is Bonu L'Salpios, and his Zuchus. The whole world is still in existence. What Zuchus does the world have to continue to exist? One, the Zuchus of Trump. Whose Zuchus is the world living in? In the Zuchus of Talmidei Chachamim. Elef Hamogein Tolu Yolov. In his Zuchus, Klal Yisrael has the confidence. They have the Elef Hamogein Kol Shulte HaGiborim. The might of the Giborim, of the warriors, are all Tolu in the Zuchus of Torah. Okay, let's take a look at some of the Midrashim before we go further. don't have all that much here on this pasuk. Let me remind myself. Kenigdal David. Okay, now there is one interesting, very interesting medrash. Okay, there's a lot, but you know, not everything can I decipher? Can I decipher and present? Okay, one thing I really enjoyed very much is the word dealing with David. The Medrash seems to interpret the entire pasuk in reference to Mamish David HaMelech, David Melech Yisrael. What was David's crown jewel? What was his crown jewel accomplishment of David HaMelech? Something which really takes all of it, the legacy of David. Well, he laid the foundation. Yeah, you can't deny. He was the one that was responsible. This you can't deny of selecting l'shichnoi sidrishu uvasa shama, the location, the final resting place for Hashem Shechina. That's to David's credit. It's a big deal. David and God, and God was God. Then was God Hachayze. David and God together. They're the ones who selected the final resting place. But in addition to that, David composed Sefer Tehillim. And Sefer Tehillim is his lasting legacy for Klal Yisrael. So the Medrash here says that the word Talpiyos, which until now we have translated as a landmark, we have translated as a source of Hoira, a mound of mouths, a place from which Hoira, teaching, comes forth, but also is a code word for Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim is called Talpios. Bring me Talpios. Bring me a Sefer Talpios. It is the Sefer Tehillim. Why is it called Talpios? According to the Medrash, because there's a mound of mouths that have contributed to its composition. In fact, the Medrash says 10 people contributed to Sefer Tehillim. Even though David was the one who composed, who put it together, who selected what will be included, but 10 people, who are the 10 people? Let me read you, it's not so simple, the different opinions as who the 10 people are. So let me read you the Medrash. Mahu Talpiyos, here this is Shir Shib Rabba, Sefer Sha'amru Lo Piyos Harbe. It is the book in which many mouths have contributed, like a mound of mouths. Shekain Asara Bnei Adam Amru Bruch Kacha Mizmarim Lakadosh Baruch Hu Asher Nichalu Bo El HaSefer Tilim. 10 people contributed. Veluhain Adam HaRishayin, number 2, Avraham Avinu. There's a Mizmar, Avraham Avinu in there, I don't know which one it is. Moshe, we have 3 times, Tfilah L'Moshe, 3 times in Tehillim. The David, of course, Ushlomo, part of Sefer Tehillim is Shlomo, which is very interesting because Gesundheit, if David wrote it, Shlomo came later. So how did Shlomo get in? So maybe the David... Maybe, or maybe it was not really fully concluded, it was not fully sealed until later.
It was a draft,
okay, I don't know. Okay, those are 5. Okay, those are 5. And those 5, there is less mandapol. Like, everything, we're going to have over here different versions of who the other 5. But these first 5, everyone is in agreement that they did contribute to Sefer Tehillim. Then, Nechelku Chacham El Hashem Vatke, Elin, but the following, Chamisha Acha, Acharonisa, Mon Inon, Mihem, who are the next 5? So we have Rabbi Yochanan. We have Rabbi Yochanan says, it was... Well, I'm not sure. Rav Amar Osaf, Haman, Vidusun. Okay, those are 3 people that lived during the time of Shlomo or David. 3 people who were Levim, and they were. We learned say Divayam. They were very instrumental in.
Is that a pun? They led the
choir leaders of the Shira. Then Ushloisha Bnei Korach, we count as 1. We count as 1. We don't know exactly the Amyachash Niska Shmam Him, they're only more, even though there's more than there are more. There were 3 Bnei Korach, it says here in the Medrash, but we don't know who their names are, so we count them as 1. The Ezra, okay, that's very interesting. Where do you find the Mizmar? That was Ezra, I don't know. And that's 5, right? That's 5. We have Asaf, Haman, and Yidusin, Korach, Bnei Korach, and Ezra. In addition to the 5 of Adam, Avraham, Moshe, David, Ushlomo, for a grand total of 10.
What about us?
Asaf was one of the three. Asaf, Haman, Vidusen. Asaf, those are the three. Okay. Then we have another opinion. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar, that was Rav's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar, Asaf, Haman, Vidusen, they're counted as one. Okay, since they all were from the Levium, they all were choirs, we count them as one. And the next, Shloisha b'nei Korach, they're also counted as one. And then we have, the other way around. Shloisha b'nei Korach, Echad b'nivis, three, the other way around. And then we have Ezra. So the question is, do we count the b'nei Korach separately, or do we count the Haman, Asaf, and Yedusun separately? But that gives us a grand total of 10. So therefore, it's a very fascinating idea to be aware of, is that Sefer Tehillim is called Talpiyos. It is a mound of mouths. 10 people contributed to its composition. Okay. So we have to say one of two things. Either you have to say that it was already known of Piruach HaKodesh what Ezra would compose, which is a little bit of a stretch, or you have to say that it was not sealed. Who's the one who sealed the books? It was not until the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which was the time of Ezra. So Ezra was the one who actually put the final version out, and he concluded in Tehillim one of his own compositions. Okay. I think we do. But you learn there's so many Sfarim Tehillim. Tehillim is a monster. To Sefer Tehillim, the Midrashim, there are a lot of Midrashim, and I think it is known which one is which. I personally don't know. Okay, now another very important thing. This idea, which is halacha, which is mamash halacha. One of the reasons why we face Mizrach here in America and in Europe when you daven Beis HaKnesset, because of this pasuk. Tal piyos, it's a tell, the Midrash says, shekol piyos mispalim bo. It is a mound, Yerushalayim, is the Beis HaMikdash, which is what we're saying over here, is the tzavar, according to the parish, at least according to the parish of the Midrash, and according to what the Mesudas drew from, that the tzavar is the Beis HaMikdash, it is a mound to which all mouths turn towards when they daven. We daven Mizrach, because we face the Beis HaMikdash. Why should we face the Beis HaMikdash? It's partially based upon this pasuk. Tal pios, when you daven, your peh should be geared towards this location. All right, let's go now to the next hypomonic. Whose commentary is that? The Shulte?
Shulte Gilborim is on the run, on the riff,
in the back of the center. The Shulte Gilborim, okay. All right, let's go now to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is pasuk K. Shnei Shadaich Kishnei Oforim Te'oimei Tzviyo Ho'roim Ba'shoi Shanim. Okay, so here we discuss the Dadim of Anisha, the Shadaich. Okay, these are the breasts of Anisha, and let's see right away the Mitzvot, what he explains this to mean. Dodayichem shavim ze im ze kishne yaldei tzvi. The chassan is praising the kala. It's a little bit bizarre. Okay, today you wouldn't be you'd be thrown out of yeshiva for saying something like this, right? So I don't really. It's hard to really understand really why.
Because she nourishes the
kids. I know, we all know that there's a lot of symbolism, but you also have to learn pshat. And it's Torah. Okay, but Torah is always refined. It's very refined, and it's not spoken in with expressions that are explicit. You don't have in the Torah a word for that describes marital relations. There is no such word. Shegel, right? Is that the word? That's not a word. That's that, what Mishkal. So that doesn't even appear in the Torah. That's that. Okay, that's why it's called Loshna Kodesh, because there are certain things in the Torah. There's certain Evarim that are not the
Torah. This is Kesuvim.
So it's not. So here also. Okay, the question is greater than any answer. I think some of Farshim use this actually as the makor, is that there is no pshat. In Shir Hashem, you can't say Shir Hashem can be learned derech pshat, because if it can be learned derech pshat, it would be very disturbing. You wouldn't find a chassan that would say these words to a scholar. This is not something you do. It's not something which is acceptable. According to everything we know in Chazal, these are not expressions that are spoken between a man and a woman. It's not done. And for it to be recorded in such a fashion. So therefore, this indicates is a gili milsa, this pasuk, that the entire Shir HaShirim is not to be learned al derech pshat. The entire Sefer Shir HaShirim is only to be learned al derech mashal, to be understood deeper concepts between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Shadayich obviously refer to the koyach of nourishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports and sustains Klal Yisrael. As Hakdam to this pasuk is a very famous Chazal, and that is that the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash had Badim. This week's parasha had the Badim, and the Badim were never removed from the Aron, and in fact they were pushed, they slid, and they were pushed to push against the curtain. So a person that would stand outside the Kodesh HaKadosh, when you look at the curtain, there would be two poles protruding against the curtain, and had the appearance Kishnei Dadei Isha, like the Dadei Isha, they push against the Isha's garments. So what does that mean exactly? So Chazal say, because the Torah is the source of nourishment, just like a child, an infant, it derives its sustenance from its mother, the Torah is the Shoresh of sustenance for Klal Yisrael, and that's why this concept does exist to teach us this very important lesson. And here in this pasuk, it's really saying the same thing in many different forms. So let's see them. The Shnei Shadayich, the Dayich HaYushav Zem Zekishnei Yaldei Tzvi. He compares it to the twins of a deer, Shenoldu Toyamim, which were born as twins, Shehem B'Shivui Gomer, which are identical. So the Mefarshim say that it's very common for deers to have twins. It's a very common occurrence. I don't know if you Google it, maybe Nishtana Teva, maybe, multiple births? Okay, could be. But it says over here, one of the Farshim, it says that this is a Mitzias. It's more common, more often than not, that a Tzvi, a gazelle, will produce twins. Maybe some animals have triple or quadruple, but here it's twins. What?
Cats and dogs have 6, 7.
Right, so maybe that's why we're now referring to cats and those. We're referring over here specifically to the tzvi, because the tzvi typically has twins. The gazelle has twins. So go further in the mitzvot. Uchsheim royim bein hashayshanim, and when these twin gazelles are born, these young twins are born. They're running among the sheshanim, among the flowers. It's a beautiful thing to see. It is a beautiful sight to see twin gazelles running amongst the flowers. And therefore this image of the twin gazelles among the flowers is what we're using as a mashal for the Isha's Dodaim, Shadaich. What is the message? What is the deeper meaning of this pasuk? So here we're going to have many interpretations, but we first start with the Mitzudus Vanimshalhu Al Hanelech V'Koyein Gadol. It's a very important relationship between, there's a division of power. What's it called in America? We have a separation. No.
Checks.
No, no. There are three divisions of government, and there are checks and balances. Okay. A division. Right. So we have in Klal Yisrael, there are not three, but there are two. There is the Melech, and there is the Kohen Gadol. They both serve in positions of leadership, and both of them are compared to the Shnei Dadaich of Anisha. They were the ones that were responsible for the nourishment of Klal Yisrael, and they would bestow good upon the Jewish people. The Melech in his wars, the Kohen Gadol in his holy service. They're equal, and they support one another, kareim ahuvim, like two good friends. Vayu mikubalim ala uma kishnei afarim, and they were cherished to the nation like two young gazelles running in on the field amongst the flowers. And they're equal, just like the shnei dadayich. Listen, again, some of Chazal emphasize that the dadayich of an isha are equal. So too these two leaders are 100% equal. Let's see over here what it says in Rashi, in the Fisher Sudus. Did we finish the Metzudos? Yes. Let's go to Rashi. Shnei Shadaich HaMeni Kois Oisach. Not like Metzudos. Ze Moshe V'Aaron. This refers specifically to Moshe V'Aaron. Well, Moshe was the Melech. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. So it is indeed similar. Kishnei Afarim Toamei Tzviyah. Rashi says, Derech Tzviyah, it's the Derech of a Tzviyah deer, a female deer, Liyois Yoledes Toyamin. It's very common for a female deer to produce twins. Kach Shneim Shavim Shukulum Zekze. Therefore, they're equal one to another. The two twins are equal. So too, Moshe and Aaron were equal. And it says in the Torah many times, sometimes it says Moshe and Aaron, sometimes it says Aaron and Moshe. And Rashi says, the reason why the Pasuk switches back and forth is to indicate that they were equal. Do not think that one was greater than the next. Now we come to a beautiful new medrash. This is a very beautiful medrash. Many rabbanim are machaving to this. I don't think they realize it's a medrash. You see in Parashas Yisro, Parashas Yeschan, and Drush, you see the people describe, they talk about this idea. But here is a mefarish medrash. What does it say? The Rachel Shnei Shadayich al Shem Haluchais. The two Shadayich refers to the two tablets. Toimei Tzviya, they're like twins of a Tzviya. Shem Chuvonos Bemida Achas, they are equal to one another. Two tablets are exactly parallels of one another. The Chamisha Dibrois Alzo, the Chamisha Alzo. There are five Diburim on one, five on the other. Mechuvanim Dibur Keneged Dibur. Now he's telling us a reason. Why are there two tablets? Because Hashem wants us to read the Luchos across. In addition to reading the Aseres HaDibros down, 1 through 10, Hashem wants us to read the Aseres HaDibros across. Anochi Hashem Ulokecha corresponds to Lo Sirtzach. And Rashi is going to explain over here how do we have to read it. Anochi is Kineged Lo Sirtzach. What's the deeper meaning of this? Sheharotzeach, a murderer, Mima'et es Hadmus Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person violates Lo Sirtzach, what he's basically doing, he's denying his words, he's being memayet, the dumus. A human being is created in the tselem Elohim. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, through lo tzirtzach, you are diminishing the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Next, number two and seven. Lo yielecha, do not have idols. Kineged lo tinaf, do not commit adultery. Very simple. Shehazoyna achar avodah zara. A person that goes and turns astray after avodah zara. Derech isha hamina efes tachas isha. Tikach as zarim. It's the way of an adulteress, of a man, of an isha, of nefsachas isha, an adulteress, a woman that strays away from her husband, to take a strange person. Just like a woman commits adultery, that's exactly what happens when a person worships a god other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next, number three and number eight. Lo sisa, do not swear by Hashem's, do not swear falsely. Kineged loy tignaif. Why? Shehagoynev, a person that steals, the end will be he'll come to swear by Hashem's name falsely. Soifo lishava l'sheker. Next, Zohar, remember Shabbos. Kineged loy tzane, do not testify falsely. Shehamchalas haShabbos, a person that violates the Shabbos. Neyit sheker, he's testifying falsely. Be boroi, loymar to say, shleshavas b'Shabbos b'reishis, is as if you're testifying falsely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not rest on Yom HaShvi'i. Next, Kabed, the last, number 5, verse number 10. Kabed is Avichav Yasinecha, Kineged Lo Sachmoi. Now, what's the shot? Shehachoymeid Soifoi, a person, all the 10 is the most difficult. A person that desires, Shehachoymeid, he desires the property of someone else, Soifoi Lohoyle Ben Shemekala Oisoi, will have a child that will curse him. Umechabed l'misha enei av, will give kavod to someone who is not his father. And it doesn't really explain. That's more of a punishment. Doesn't really. These last two really don't go together as well as the first four. A person that is not a person that desires to have things that is not his will be punished. Mida kineged mida. What is his will not be mechab. Will not relate to him. his children, which are truly his possessions, will not want to associate with their father. Instead, they will want to be mechabed someone who's not their father. Just like he did not want to appreciate what is his, when he wants something else. Leisachma, don't want what's not yours. If you want something that's not yours, then what is yours will not want you. What is the ultimate possession that is yours? Your children. And they will not come to want you. So it's an amazing idea of the inyan of kibud av va'em. It's all dependent, it's a gili. The way a person's children relate to them, basically what this measure is saying, something very frightening. The way a person's children relate to the parent is an indication on how you value your assets and are nizar in the loisaseh of loisachmoit. Okay, now we have over here, so that's the toimet, so that's going to the twins of the deer, the two luchais. And then it says, Haraya Klaishal, you're beautiful, Yeroya, they are Yeroya, they're shepherds among the flowers. Es Soinam, Bishashanim, referring to the Moshe the Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, and the Melach, they shepherd the Jewish people among the flowers. Es tzaynam their sheep b'sheshanim u'madrichim oisam b'derech noicha v'yishar, they guide them on a path that is proper, pleasant, and is straight. Okay, so this parish of Rashi, so to review, we learned of Yili of Neshnei Shadayich. This refers to the two Dadim, which refers to Moshe the Aaron, the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, the Keshnei Afarim Toyamei Tzviyah. They're like two young gazelles, which are twins of their mother Tzviyah. And the reason why we focus on this is because they're always identical. Could very well be that when it comes to other creatures, when they have twins, they're not identical. It's the nature of the Tzviyah to produce twins, and they're identical. Moshe the Aaron, the Melech the Kohen Gadol, they are identical, they are equivalent to the Dadim, which is the source of nourishment for Klal Yisrael. Harayim HaShashanim, and these two leaders, they shepherd Klal Yisrael in the pasture on a Derech Yishar, a derech noicha, proper and straight path. Other interpretation, it refers to the luchos. The luchos are compared to shnei shadayich. And how does shadayich come to the word luchos? I'm not exactly sure why, because they're exactly equal. They're two, but so are they two. But why is shadayich? Maybe shadayich, I remember someone once told me shadayich is the letters of shin dalid yud, shakai. Shakai. So Shakai is the shame Hashem. The Luchais is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is in the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now another interpretation of Toyamei Tzviyah, there are many, it's the first of the Targum. Okay, what's the Targum? Pasuk Hey. Targum says, train Pori Kayich. The Asidim Limifrikin, so we have a whole new interpretation. We're dealing with our redeemers. The people who are going to redeem us in the future, who are they? The Melech HaMashiach. How many Melech HaMashiachs are there? So here it says two. There's Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Now which order would you put them in? You should put them first, Mashiach ben Yosef. He comes first, and then comes Mashiach ben David. So why is the Targum over here putting him in the reverse order? Let's see. Train pori kayich, your two redeemers, the asidin, lemifrikich, that will ultimately redeem you. Who are they? Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Bar Ephraim. Domyon lemoshe the Aaron, they are similar to Moshe the Aaron. Bnei yoicheved, the tzviyah of the pasuk, according to the interpretation of the Targum, is Yocheved. She is the Tzviyah. The Ismilu Litrein Ur Zeilin. These two redeemers are compared to two gazelles, Tiyoyme Tavyah, which are twins, the perfect, good twins, which are perfect in all ways. V'havo, notice we touched twins which are good. V'havo ra'an la'ama beis Yisrael b'schusoin, and you know, so he's going over back. He's going back to Moshe the Aaron. Moshe the Aaron were twins, and they were perfect, and they shepherded the Jewish people in the desert for 40 years in their merit, Arbon Shnin, Bimadbara, Bimana, Uvoifin Patimin, in their Schus, Moshe's Schus, we had the Mon, Uvoifin Patira, and we had the Schus of the Slav, Umei Bera de Miriam, and the water of Miriam. Now what's very strange is, what about the Anani HaKavot? He starts over here with Moshe of Aaron. This target was very, very difficult. He starts with Moshe of Aaron. Moshe was the man. The slav is not really something that we emphasize, but he throws that in. Aaron gave us the Anani HaKavot. That he makes no mention of, and instead he throws in the Be'er, and he mentions that comes from the Schus of Miriam. So I don't know, something over here is going a little bit off, but basically comparing over here the two redeemers of Klal Yisrael, Moshe and Aaron, they're going to redeem the two redeemers, Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach Medom, Mishal Ben Yosef. That's very interesting. Because
about
what?
Discussing only food.
Only food. And the water, the air...
Water is like food.
And not the Anani HaKavot, because that's not food. That's not Shadayich. The Shadayich represents food. Okay, so discussing over here the two Mashiach. Now, it's very interesting over here. It's an amazing Targum, because it's telling us there that the Mashiach ben David and the Mashiach ben Yosef are compared to Moshe the Aaron. Now, that's very interesting. What does that mean exactly? Which one would you compare to Moshe, and which one would you compare to Aaron? We are normally under the assumption that the Mashiach ben Yosef was a political leader. It's more dealing with the secular world. And Mashiach ben David is more of a spiritual leader. Isn't that the impression that we get from Chazal?
That's what he said.
Aaron, both Moshe and Aaron were really spiritual leaders. If you want to say one was more political, I would say Aaron was quite godly. He's more spiritual. Moshe was the Melech. Moshe was more dealing with the Umos Olam.
Moshe, Aaron was Radev Shalom, so he was more politically
involved,
you know.
Radev Shalom.
Okay.
I would think the opposite. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. He went in Lefnai v'Lefnim. Moshe dealt with Paro. Moshe spoke to Paro. He negotiated. What? Okay, you could argue both ways. It's just interesting. You don't have such a thing. It's very weird to have such a thing where we have Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, and we're comparing them to Moshe and Aaron. If you want to put them in order, first Mashiach ben Yosef, it seems that Mashiach ben Yosef, in proper order, is being matched to Moshe. He says first Mashiach ben David, and Mashiach ben Bar Ephraim, and then he says Moshe and Aaron. So l'chor, you would match Mashiach ben David to Moshe, and Mashiach ben Bar Ephraim Yosef to Aaron. Like, you want to say Oyev Shalom, Vodav Shalom, was Oyev in with the people, was a people's person. Okay, maybe, but it's interesting that we do compare these two, one to the, we're making this comparison. Okay, the next thing, what? So why don't we refer to him as Ephraim? Menashe, no, we are, well, I don't know why, maybe because of here, since referring to Aaron. So Aaron was more of an Ephraim person, because Menashe, Chazal say, he was Oisik in government. Ephraim was the Talmud by Yaakov Avinu, he was Oisik in Torah. I don't know. And the other question, which is a very big, the bigger mystery, is why are we putting Mashiach ben David first? The order is reversed, so you say, well, he's more Chashev. Even though the Seder will be that Mashiach ben Yosef will come first, and then will Mashiach ben David, but we're talking about Chashivah, so we put Mashiach ben David first. Others say something very interesting is that there are two times for the coming of Mashiach. There's Be'ita Nachishana. If Mashiach comes Be'ita, there's a natural sequence of events leading up to Mashiach, then Mashiach ben Yosef will come. Mashiach ben Yosef will come first. Baruch Hashem, he came. Never too late.
Mashiach.
Mashiach is here. If Mashiach will come Be'ita, according to a natural sequence of events, then Mashiach ben Yosef will come first. But if Mashiach comes Achishena, before its time, then Mashiach ben David will come first. And therefore, over here, the Pasuk of here is telling us, Shnei Shtachis, Shnei Afarim, just like in Mitzrayim. Did we leave Egypt early? We left Egypt 190 years early. We left it early. Moshe of Yaron. The male of Moshe came first. Moshe is Mashiach ben David. And then he recruited Aaron. Aaron Achicha Yed Neviyacha. He was recruited to be, he was the backup. He was the secondary. So too, Mashiach will come also, will first Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. That is one approach over here that we're trying to describe about Kasha for the coming of Mashiach. I don't have the answer for you. It's the prayer. I think he brings it down. These are very esoteric things. The Rambam.
The Yosef is coming to fight against.
The Gemara. I think it's the Gemara of Sanhedrin. It could be the Gemara of Sanhedrin that the Mulchemes Goy Gomagog, and Mulchemes Goy Gomagog is going to be led by Mashiach Ben Yosef. He's going to be the leader, and he's going to be killed. He's going to be killed in battle. In war, what?
Probably in
Sukkah. Or in Sechel Sukkah, okay. And then after he dies, there's going to be a big hesped, and then Mashiach ben David will appear. All right, but here we have a different order, and this is a very interesting answer. This is Beit Achishena, and we're comparing it to Moshe of Aaron. Indeed, there it was first. It was Achishena. That's when Moshe came, then Aaron. So too, that will be the same thing when Mashiach will come. Okay, third, there's another important point is Tzviya Toyameh. They are twins of the Tzviya. Who is the Tzviya? According to the Targum, it is Yocheved. Why is Yocheved called a Tzviya? The answer is because it comes to the word of tzivaos, hosts, multitudes. Yocheved was responsible for the shishim riboy in Klal Yisrael. The tzivaos, asher tzavu. What does it say in last week's parasha? The maros, hamaros, hatzoivos, asher tzavu b'nei Yisrael. The word tzavos means multitudes, hosts. Who was the one that presided over the population growth of Klal Yisrael during the Shibud? It was Yocheved. It was Yocheved and Miriam. So therefore, the pasuk was very precise in selecting the word tzivya to be used as the term to describe Yocheved, because the word Tzviya is related to the word Tzvos. She was instrumental in making sure Klal Yisrael would grow and thrive in the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, now let me just see if we have any other midrashim before we go further. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Ad sheyafuach hayom. And this is going to be subject to much interpretation. Ad can either mean ad, while, or until. Sheyafuach hayom means to blow. While the yom is, if you learn ad means while the day is still in existence. Now,
the sun is still shining.
The yom is a code word for the sun. While the sun is still shining, v'nasu hatzalalim. Now, what does it mean? V'nasu can mean, we see two interpretations. Either it can mean that there are no shades. The shade has gone away. When does the shade appear? In the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. When the sun is in the east, when the sun is in the west, so then it casts a shade. But when the sun is in the center of the sky, there is no shade, because the sun beats down, strikes down in the center. So ad sheyafuach hayom v'nasu hatzalalim, while the day, the sun is still shining, and v'nasu, the shade has fled, meaning there is no shade, Eilech Lil Har Hamar. Hashem says, I will go on a journey to the mountain of Mor. Mor is a spice. They'll give us to the hill of Halavoina, another spice, and that's where I will enjoy myself. Period. Now, what exactly does this mean? So let's see, first see the Mitsudos David. Pasik Vav. Ad Sheyofuach. This means to say as follows. L'chein therefore, b'avur ha-kishon v'ayofi ha-nim sabach me'oz b'yeser says. The Mitzudos David learns that Hashem over here is telling Klal Yisrael, right now you're misbehaving. And therefore at this moment I will not rest my divine presence among you. But the time will come when I will return. Why will I return to you? Because since I recognize all of your attributes, all of your fine qualities that have been enumerated and detailed in the previous few psukim, l'chein ba'avur ha-kishroin, the excellence, the hayofi, the beauty, hanim sabach me'oz b'yeser seis, that is found in you from time immemorial, and with great praise, hoychili al ha-toiva, I will wait. Ki yesh tikva, there is hope. Right? We get Benny Fried to come sing for us. Yesh tikva. Al tay ki yesh tikva, there is hope for Klal Yisrael. The ad ho eish sheyiyah ha-shemesh nefuach min ha-aretz, leredes l'shkoya, and until the time when the sun blows from the earth to descend. According to the parish of the Mitzvahs, it does not mean while, it means ad means when. I'm going to wait until the sun sets, until the yom blows all the way to the west side of the horizon. I'm going to wait it out. The ad yenusu hatzalalim, I'm going to wait until there, now he teaches yenusu hatzalalim, until there is going to be shade. Because when the sun is shining and there's shade, the shade, it's called nos. It runs. When you cast a shade, it's called you are causing the shade to flee. Because by spreading over a long distance, that is called that's called running. Avayenusu hatzalalim. What does these two words mean? So he defines for us. Who eis? It's the time erev. This is the afternoon. She'oz, at that little moment in time, yenusu tzilei hadvarim. It flees. It runs the shade of matters. What do we mean? Lihios misarchim. It is extended. Nos here means to extend, to spread. And it spreads a distance. The ad loy savoy, until ha'esahi, and until that time comes, eilech el har shen godal sham boisem hamar, I will go temporarily to the mountain where there is besamim, v'yel giva shegedei lebo levoina, I'm going to go to the valley where it grows the levoina, v'shama olin halayla, and there I'm going to wait for you. V'hanim shol hu loymar, ba'avur kishren ha-masevi ha-shevach ha-nim sabach me'az, due to your excellence, due to your good deeds, and all the praise that are found to you, which I mentioned from before, emaher la-hashoyz shchinasa b'beis ha-migdash, I will be swift to bestow the shchina, my shchina b'beis ha-migdash, mokom shemaktirim samamoni ha-ketores v'har v'hem mor levoina, I will once again restore the Shechina to the place of the Beis Hamikdash. And read the pasuk again in its entirety. Go back with the pasuk according to the parish of the Mitzvah. So this is Ad Sheyefuach Hayom Benasu Hatzalalim. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until the day is over, until the Yom, the sun sets. Benasu Hatzalalim. I'm going to wait until the shadows are cast. When are the shadows cast? The shadows are cast in the afternoon. I'm going to wait until that moment in time. And when that, and when that moment in time comes, Eilech Lil Har Hamar, I will go to the Beis Hamikdash. I will go to Har Hamaria, V'yel Givas Halavaina, the hill where you offer karbonos, and those karbonos produce a fragrance of the Levoina. So I'm going to wait, Ad, until that moment. Ad means, you have to add a few more words into the pasuk. I will wait, Ad, until you are ready. When are you ready? You'll be ready at the end of the day. Symbolically meaning, at the end of days, at the end of time. In Yemos HaMashiach, I'm going to wait. That will be called the moment of Yefuach HaYom, when the Yom, the sun, is blown to the west side of the horizon. And that is the moment of time, V'nasu HaTzalalim, when shadows are cast. At that moment in time, then I will return to you due to your excellent midos and milos. I will go Eilichli, I will travel al Har Hamor, al Har Maria, they'll give us halavoina to once again restore my Shechina upon you, Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's Parashat Mitzvot, and to leave the rest for tomorrow.